All right, and joining us this morning, as he does every month, I can't believe it's been a month since you've been in. Has it really been a month?
It's flying by.
I'm like, Darren, that can't be right. This is going to be a typo. It was in last week. But it's not. A month has gone by, and Darren Munn is back with us.
Good morning.
From Munn Wealth Management, and of course, Munn Wealth Management, the sponsor of the Prayer Closet here on YesFM. So we appreciate you guys sponsoring the Prayer Closet.
It's our pleasure.
And tolerating me. The fact that you would put the name of your company so close to me is a great act of faith.
It's not easy. It's not easy, but, you know, it's an act of service. Yeah,
yes.
Act of faith.
Act
yes.
of faith.
Yes.
You're trusting in the Lord in that. And as always, Darren joins us to help us with our financial questions. If the Democratic debate in Cleveland, I believe. Aren't they in Cleveland? I think they are.
I think you might be right.
Yeah, they're somewhere in Ohio. And a bit of a scandal heading into this debate.
Uh-oh.
I know that's hard to imagine in our government today that there
I'm shocked.
Yeah, but or a bit of a kerfluffle anyway, because Bernie Sanders slandered Elizabeth Warren, and she is quite upset about it. Heading into the debate, Bernie Sanders dared to call Elizabeth Warren, and I hate to even use this kind of language on the radio, but I'm going to have to, a capitalist. Yes, he called her a capitalist, to which she took great offense.
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing like two millionaires calling
what
each other capitalists.
What is this world coming to?
So I say this because, yes. Well, how do we get to the point where being a capitalist is now a slander? Obviously, the big debate, especially probably more on the Democrat side than the Republican side, is this debate between capitalism, socialism. You have more people on the Democratic side now openly embracing socialism. So a lot of times I think it's presented like people know exactly the difference between capitalism and socialism. So what I'd like to ask you is, what is the difference between capitalism and socialism? And historically, you know, not just because I like this party or that party, but historically, how have they performed in different nations where they've been tried?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely loaded questions and certainly complex, because I think a lot of people that use the word socialism really don't even know what it's referring to. But I'll try to break it down into maybe the more general
definitions.
Just the basics. We're not going to get specific.
Because I know there's little variations of different kinds
of
socialism and different kinds of capitalism.
It really boils down to property rights and also, you know, who's really controlling the means of production. So, you know, in capitalism, you're really saying, you know, individuals have property rights. If you own it, it's yours. Nobody else can really tell you what to do with it within the bounds of the law, right?
Right.
In socialism, you start to get into where maybe the government doesn't necessarily own the property, but they control the means of production and they control what happens to that. And so it really comes down to control, oftentimes for the purpose of a redistribution of the produce or the profits that come from that. So that in general is the difference. And in just about every society, because there may be some exceptions, but in most societies as they develop, you see this progression where they typically start out with a capitalist philosophy, and over time, you know, people tend to, for whatever reason, tend to gravitate towards socialism because it sounds good in concept. Hey, we're going to spread the wealth around. But the reality is, anytime we've seen a society move down the path of socialism, one, it often leads to communism. It's really a stepping stone. But we've seen a slowdown in economic production and a destruction of wealth. We've never ever seen a society that's moved from a capitalist system into a socialist system and flourish. Just never. I mean, and we can point to
Venezuela.
Venezuela was a very wealthy nation just a few years ago.
They were the wealthiest nation in South America.
They were.
And now they can't feed themselves.
Just in a matter of a couple decades, they went from being extremely wealthy to being, you know, devastatingly poor. And it was a result of that move to socialism and really the government controlling not just the means of production, but also the, you know, many times it's done under the guise of taxation, and, you know, so that it's theft, but it's kind of legalized theft.
Yeah.
Because it's done under a taxation and a redistribution.
In history, can you give some examples of what type of government or whatever that some former civilizations had, like maybe Israel during one of their good times, and the Roman Empire during Jesus' time, governments that they would have.
Yeah, the Roman Empire is a good example where where it really started out with a very capitalist system. And over time, you know, gradually, you know, you had the government take more and more control over what, you know, as they grew bigger and bigger. And then, you know, you have the problems of the, you get the same issues. You get this class warfare type scenario where, you know, people start, you get this unhealthy relationship of income disparity and things like that. And the reality is, you know, no matter what system you have, you're going to have, you know, some people that flourish more than others. But the reality is, in a capitalist system, everybody has the opportunity to flourish. What oftentimes happens, or what has always happened in a socialist type system, is that, you know, it takes away the incentive for people to innovate, for people to work, because what people realize is, hey, if I work harder, it's just going to get taken away from me and given to somebody else who may not necessarily be working as hard. And so it de-incentivizes, you know, an underlying economic principle is that people respond to incentives. Mm-hmm. If you give them an incentive, especially when there's money tied to it, that's going to influence their behavior. So if you give people an incentive to work hard, where they get the benefit from that under a capitalist system, they are going to do that. You see that. I mean, that's how the, you know, our country became great, is we had a capitalist system. If people worked hard, they took risk. That's a major component of a capitalist system, is you take risk with your capital. But in a socialist system or a communist system, that reward is stripped away. You know, if you take risk with your capital and you profit too much, it gets taken away and given to somebody else who hasn't taken that risk or hasn't put the effort forward. And that disincentivizes people to then further take risk.
To be fair, I think that's the appeal of socialism, because there is risk in capitalism. Right?
Yes.
There's risk. You can risk your capital, and sometimes you make great gain. Sometimes you lose it.
Sometimes you lose it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there is risk in capitalism. Some people look at that and say, oh, I don't want to risk this. Socialism says, you know, we'll take away that element of risk. We're going to provide a basic safety net, a basic, you know, compensation, so you don't have to worry about that risk. And for a lot of people, that's appealing, right? It's like, okay, I don't have to have that risk. And so by removing that element of risk, it becomes an appealing option in that sense, that we can say, hey, I don't have that risk. But the problem then, of course, becomes, and this is where I'm going to kind of come to a question that I think involves us as Christians. You know, if there's no disincentive for me not working, if the state's going to pay me not to work and I can still pay my bills and pay my rent and have a TV and go out, why should I work?
That's right. That's exactly what happens. Yeah.
So, and especially as Christians, if we're going to say, okay, socialism, because it disincentivizes, it ultimately leads us to a poorer economic system for everybody than a better one.
Correct.
That we need a certain element of risk. But we also, you know, because if we risk, that means some people are going to lose, not because they did anything wrong, but because sometimes risks don't work out. How do we, and certainly as Christians, we have a responsibility to care for the poor and care for those who are on hard times. How do we balance that? How do we balance it so we say, you know, we're not going to let people just collapse through the system. If we're going to ask them to enter in a system of risk, we also need to have some way to help those when those risks don't work out, or they lose their job, or their company goes under, or whatever. How do we, especially as Christians, balance that out, where we're not going too far one way or the other?
Yeah, ironically, is a model in Scripture, and I wasn't going to talk about this today, but I'll actually jump over to it. So if you go to Acts chapter 4, you see this model actually in action in Scripture. You see this. A lot of people will falsely claim that, you know, Jesus was a socialist and things like that. But the reality is, you know, what we really see is a strong proponent of capitalism. But you see this in the early church in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. It says, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that they were no needy persons among them. From time to time, so get this part right here, from time to time, those who owned land or houses, so here you have the capitalist system of property ownership.
It recognizes that they owned it.
They owned it. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. So you have the system of, you still have property rights, you still have the capitalist system where the people that own the capital, you know, they get the benefit of that. But then it's a voluntarily, because of God's work in our heart, because of the love we have for other people, we share with those who are in need. And so you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get the incentive for people to work, to produce, to take risk, and to increase their capital. But at the same time, when there is a reward from that and a blessing, we realize that ultimately God's given us those gifts and talents. And so God has also called us to be generous. And it's another strong biblical principle for those that are blessed with extra resources to share with those who have need. Now, again, it's not sharing with those who decide not to. You know, you see the other scripture, you know, the man who doesn't work doesn't eat. You see principles of, you know, it's not just to share with people because they don't have the same amount as you do. It's to share with people who have need. And you see, you know, the New Testament talks a lot about it, you know, the list of widows and orphans, you know, people who truly have need. And it even creates qualifications for that. You know, these are people that need to have, you know, a heart of service and things like, you know, so if you read through 1 Timothy chapter 5, there's some great guidance there in scripture about how we can serve those who are truly in need. And so, you know, scripture really presents a good blueprint for how a properly functioning church should treat those who are in need.
I think of the example you just read there of Barnabas, Ananias, and Sapphira.
Yes,
right?
That's the next chapter, yes.
They both sell. Barnabas brings everything he has, gives it to the apostles, he's blessed. Ananias and Sapphira sell. They bring a portion,
right.
But they tell them they bring it all.
Right.
But I love what Peter says. When you had this, it was yours to do with as you please.
That's
so why
right.
have you come and lied to the Holy Spirit? Problem was not that they only gave a portion.
Exactly.
If they had come and said, here's a portion of the sale, they'd have been fine.
Yep.
They came and claimed all of it when they knew it wasn't.
Right. And they weren't giving out of a pure heart. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it was about how do they make themselves look good, you know.
Right.
So
they lied about what they were doing. That was the problem.
Exactly.
And you see that balance there of it was theirs to do with as they pleased. God calls us to share that as there is need. Because, and I think this is the other problem, and I think this is a problem in much of our politics, as we've moved away from a biblical model, capitalism in a kind of evolutionary model, survival of the fittest model, can be a pretty brutal system. You know, it can be I get mine and to heck with everybody else, and you get these great disparities in wealth. If you don't have that all overarching Christian moral vision applied to capitalism, you know, any system, any economic system, if it's divorced from morality, is not going to be good.
Right. I think, again, it gets misrepresented. Yes, you're going to have people that truly excel. But the difference is, so let's look at the U.S. compared to Russia right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the U.S., you know, we have thousands. Actually, I take that. We have millions of millionaires in the U.S. You know, we have wealth. Yes, there is a disparity between the very extreme. It's kind of like the difference between basketball talent between Kobe Bryant and me, right?
Yes.
I mean, he is, you know, at the extreme end of the talent curve. Now, does that mean that he did something wrong because he had some natural giftings and he worked really hard,
mm-hmm.
and he has more basketball? It's, you know, I could scream, it's not fair that he's way better at basketball than I am, even though I'm only 5'10 and I can't jump, right? You know, but the reality is, great, he was blessed with those gifts and abilities. You know, but in the United States, he worked extremely hard, right? And so we have in the United States where it's not, you know, limited, you know, wealth is not a finite thing. I mean, money, you know, there's not just a finite amount of wealth. And so millions of people are building their wealth and are moving, let's say, up the ladder when it comes to the wealth standard, versus you have a socialist borderline communist system in Russia, where you have about 200 people where the wealth is concentrated. And so this is where when people talk about the income inequality, Russia is a great example of how that's bad, because you have 200 people that basically control all the wealth. Very different from the United States. They've done that not by taking risk and controlling. They've done it by political manipulation. What ultimately creates that scenario is socialism. Socialism creates this extreme disparity between those that have and those that haven't, and they don't gain it by taking risk and working the capital. They gain it by taking it from other people and by political manipulation. And that's what you see when government controls the means of production. It, by nefarious means, it does get concentrated into us. You see this with a lot of poor nations where the leaders are extremely wealthy. You know, the political elite are extremely wealthy. And this is when Jesus railed about wealth in scripture. It wasn't about the capitalist wealthy. It was about the political elite, because the political, and back in those days, the political and religious systems were really intertwined. You had, you know, the church and the religious leaders were oftentimes the political leaders as well, but there was bad things happening and they were basically taking money from people and becoming very wealthy themselves, very similar to what we see in places like Russia. And even in the United States, when you look at some of our politicians, they've been in office for, you know, 20 or 30 years making not that much money. I mean, a decent amount, but they've got a net worth of hundreds of millions of dollars. okay,
something's
going on there, yeah, right?
Be a path to enrichment.
Right, and that's what we need to, you know, that's what the people that talk socialism, they don't really look at, okay, the reality is income inequality becomes far more exaggerated under a socialist system. And, you know, one, if we're talking about inequality, that's the wrong conversation. I mean, scripture tells us, you know, to not envy what other people have. That's a system that's rooted in envy. It's rooted in economic comparison. You know, the reality is, you know, the best way to do it is to let people have the property rights and to control that. Some people are going to make better decisions than others in that decision or in that process. But the reality is, that's a part of life, you know.
And Josh texted in and said, socialism takes away the heart to give to the needy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, even though the government's taken it away from you to give to others, then why bother giving to others?
Right. And even though, you know, to Tommy's point, yes, it reduces maybe the risk of a business failure, but the reality is, if people aren't innovating and creating new businesses and opportunities, it just means there's less opportunity for everyone. And,
yeah,
and that's where you see is the water level drops,
yeah,
as opposed to, you know, in a capitalist system, you know, the tide. I mean, think about it today. The poor in the United States live better than the wealthy did 100 years ago in the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at, you know, 100 years ago, you know, they didn't have indoor plumbing. I mean, they didn't have cell phones. There are so many things they didn't have. So our poor here in the United States, you know, in many cases, they have indoor plumbing and cell phones and, you know, houses that, you know, are at least somewhat. So, you know, the reality is, you know, the standard of living has risen dramatically under a strong capitalist system. And again, you can point back to other countries that have gone away from that system, and what we see is economic destruction and things move in the wrong direction.
Well, and I think when we look at the Bible, you know, what it teaches us is it's not what we have. It's how we value what we have. Do we value it over God? How did we gain it? And then how are we using it?
Right.
If we gained it by unjust means and are using it for unjust ends, it's wrong.
Right.
If we gain it by just means, use it for just ends, as God commanded us to, and recognize that we're simply stewards of that, then it's a good thing.
Yes.
All right, well, I know we took it in a different direction today than you were intending, but I appreciate you flexing with us, because it's obviously going to be talked about. It's going to be talked about in the upcoming election. It's obviously in the news, and as Christians, we need to understand, you know, what's the proper, how do we properly use wealth, and how do we properly create an economic system that's as fair as we can get in a fallen human world,
right,
as fair as we can get to everybody,
right,
and that cares for everybody.
Yeah, the verse I was going to share was in Hebrews 13. I'll just read one verse. It says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you.'"
Yeah.
So, I mean, that fits right in, you know, with that conversation. And we need to be content, not compare, trust that, you know, God's going to take care of. But again, we have a responsibility ourselves to work hard,
yep,
you know, to be prudent, you know, to follow biblical principles in what we're doing. So
be, yeah, content, be generous, and good things are going to happen.
That's right.
Hey, Darren, thanks so much. Darren Munn from Munn Wealth Management. And what's the website for Munn Wealth?
Munnwealth.com.
Hey, thanks, Darren. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Take care.